turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, in your pew Bibles, that's on page 240. Last week we looked at the first 37 verses, and now we're looking at the concluding section of this familiar account of Scripture. As you're turning there, remember, we had seen David's preparation for battle with Goliath, Israel's dread foe. You know, it was a crisis of faith for David and for Israel. The Philistines were threatening to attack Israel. They were encamped upon their borders. Goliath was that intimidating foe, not only the foe of David and of Israel, but truly God's foe. And there was a challenge of faith there for David. He was the youngest of eight, a shepherd, a messenger. He heard Goliath's words. Remember, Goliath was not just taunting, mocking Israel's armies. He really was mocking God. And so David was preparing for battle. He had a little fight with his elder brother, some disbelief, even by King Saul, who wasn't ready to send him forth. So let's actually pick up with verse 37. I'll read through the end of the chapter. This is the word of God. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Well, then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head, clothed him with a coat of mail, and David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. And then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook, and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. And then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shaarim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the boy is." And as soon as David returned from the striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to David, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Amen. To this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you indeed are a conquering God. First pages of Genesis to the end of Revelation, Lord, we see your conquest over sin and death in the grave. The climax of that is at the cross, at the empty tomb. Christ's ascension, his sitting on the throne in glory. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for this gospel hope that you give to us today and always. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be at work in each of our hearts, Father, so that we might hear your word, believe your word, trust in Christ, walk in faith. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, consider some of the great military battles in our country's history. We could consider the Revolutionary War battle at Lexington and Concord in Massachusetts, the Civil War battle at Vicksburg, Mississippi, World War I battle of the Argonne Forest, a World War II invasion of Normandy on D-Day, you know, just to name a few battles. You know, and maybe you've been privileged to visit some of these battlefields and just to soak it in and to ponder the price that was paid for our freedom. You know, but consider, too, also the great military minds that make plans and preparations for battlefield victories. You know, the outcome can remain uncertain for days and weeks, sometimes even months. You have your strategy, and yet you're still waiting for victory. Well, here in 1 Samuel 17, I invite you, encourage you to keep your Bibles open to this portion of Scripture. You know, we're going to see young David as he prepares to go to battle against Goliath, the uncircumcised Philistine, this seemingly unconquerable foe of Israel. You know, but rather than focusing, you know, it's our temptation when we look at 1 Samuel 17 to focus primarily on Goliath the giant. Or we can also be tempted even just to focus on David. Not that there aren't lessons there, but the one who is at the center of 1 Samuel 17 is the Lord. And David himself declares that there in verse 47. The Lord saves, not with sword or spear. The battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hand. You know, and here in 1 Samuel 17, I believe we can learn that when the Lord sends us into battle, and the Lord still sends us into battle, he also secures the victory. Well, how can we know the security of the Lord's victory in battle, even today? We'll see courageous preparations on the part of David, the conquering power not only of David but of the Lord, and then finally a clear proclamation, I believe a gospel hope there at the end. It begins with the courageous preparations for the Lord's battle there in verse 38 through verse 47. And almost a striking incident. Remember verse 37, Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. And then verse 38, it's almost as if the Saul said to David, hey, David, wait a second, before you go into battle, put my armor on. And so Saul took his armor, decided to dress David for battle. He put his helmet on David's head. He covered David with his own coat of mail. He gives David his own sword. You know, remember, this is the king. But David wisely responds by rejecting King Saul's offer. He says, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. You know, I'm unaccustomed to going forth into battle, you know, with these armaments. You know, so David promptly rejected Saul's armor. You know, and there's a lesson here at the very beginning. We can't fight our spiritual foes with someone else's armor. You know, sometimes that's our temptation to look at the brother and sister in Christ. Well, I'll be just like them. You know, and if I do exactly what they do, not that we shouldn't model the love and power of Christ, you know, but here God has his own weapons. It's the Lord himself who will graciously gird David for battle, and it's the Lord himself who graciously girds us. So a courageous rejection, now David the shepherd boy takes out a shepherding staff, you know, that familiar staff. He picks up five smooth stones out of the brook, places them in his shepherd's pouch, and along with choosing the stone, David also carries his trusty sling in his hand. You know, a sling in David's day was a deadly weapon of war. You know, in Sunday school, we went through the book of Judges not too long ago. Judges chapter 20, verse 16, speaking of the tribe of Benjamin. Among all these were 700 chosen men who were left-handed. Every one could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. You know, and so David had acquired that skill that he used as a shepherd. And so David goes forth with his staff, five smooth stones, his sling. You know, that's the extent of his armament. And going now before the heavily armed Philistine, I believe he goes forth with courage. We don't read that word courage here. I believe it's implied. You know, but what's courage? You know, it's God's strength in the midst of great stress. It's an abiding faith in the Lord, even in times of affliction. It's stepping forward with a confident hope in Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 puts it this way, Philippians 1:20. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, David was a man of courageous faith in the Lord, but he was facing a cruel foe. Again, you know, there in verse 41, we see Goliath, that cruel foe, that fearsome Philistine juggernaut. He appears on the battlefield, but you almost have to smile. Here's David, staff, sling, five stones, and, you know, Goliath has all of his armament, and he still has his shield bearer with him, almost like a security blanket. And the long shadow of 9'9" Goliath falls upon David. You know, think of this illustration. We had the eclipse this past week. You know, and the moon passed in front of the sun. You know, here where we are in South Louisiana, 75%, I think. You know, other parts, it was a total eclipse. You know, and I'm thinking here for a moment, Goliath thought, well, I'm blocking out the sun. Look at how big, look at how great I am. And there is a sinful darkness here, but for those of you who watched the eclipse, how long did it last? You know, it was gone. It took a long time building up, a lot of media buildup. You know, but then it was gone. And that's what we're going to see with Goliath. He thought he could eclipse God. God had other plans for David and for Goliath. The intimidating Philistine confronts this insignificant shepherd boy. He beholds David. He disdains him. We read in verse 42, he's looking down on him. You know, basically because, David, you're not worthy of fighting a great warrior like me. You know, you're just a little boy. You're a handsome little boy. You don't have all the battle scars. You don't have the armament. You know, Goliath was not only disdaining David, but more importantly, he was disdaining the Lord, David's God. And after looking at contempt at the shepherd boy holding a staff in his hand, the Philistine now speaks words of contempt. Verse 43, the Philistine said to David, remember David's holding his staff, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" Presumably David as a shepherd carried the staff to beat off wild dogs that might be attacking his sheep. And Goliath says, you know, "Is that the way you look at me, David, just like a wild dog?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. In other words, you know, Goliath used the names of his god, Dagon. You read about it in 1 Samuel 5, later on, Ashtaroth. Dagon was the fish god, Ashtaroth was the moon goddess. And so the Philistine thought, "My gods are greater than your god. And I'm a greater warrior than you are, David. I will certainly win this battle. I'll not only win the battle, but, you know, more trash talk." You know, the Philistine says, "I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air, the beasts of the field." That was like the ultimate insult for God's people. You know, the implication is that, you know, God created us. We honor our bodies, our bodies, when our life is gone, when we're dead, we ought to properly bury them. And here the Philistine says, "You know, I'm not going to bury your bodies. I'm just going to leave them out to rot for the birds to eat." And those are Goliath's final words. You know, but there's a verse of scripture, you know, that came to mind, you know, thinking of Goliath. I've grown to appreciate this verse, 1 Kings 20:11. 1 Kings 20:11, "And the king of Israel answered, 'Tell him, let not him who straps on his armor boast himself as he who takes it off.'" Read that one more time. "Let not him who straps on his armor boast himself as he who takes it off." In other words, don't start talking, don't start bragging here before the battle's begun. You know, you hadn't even put your armor on. You hadn't even put your foot on the playing field, Goliath. You know, the time to boast about your conquest is at the end of the conquest. So David has a courageous witness. The Lord graciously gives David the last words, the security of victory against this uncircumcised a Philistine. We read it there in verses 45 and following of 1 Samuel 17. It's almost like a sermon. One commentator called this a missionary message. You know, and three parts to it. First, David acknowledges Goliath's great weapons of war. "You come to me, Goliath, with a sword and a spear and a javelin. But guess what, Goliath? What am I coming before you with? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Basically, the commander-in-chief of all the angel armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You sinfully, Goliath, sought to bring shame on the glorious name of the commander-in-chief of the armies of heaven, and you will suffer God's judgment for that. Second thing David says, he announces that this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Remember that Goliath has been coming out for 40 days, twice a day, morning and evening, 80 times. And they probably wonder, when are you going to stop, Goliath? And here David says, you know, this is it. This day, you know, this very day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And note the humility, the faith of David. David doesn't say, you know, Goliath, I'm going to knock you dead. David said, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. But the Lord's going to use the means, the tool. I will strike you down and cut off your head. But who gets the glory and the praise here? It's the Lord. And finally, David says, the Lord will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army to the carrion and to the wild creatures. And why will the Lord do that? You know, look at the last part of verse 46. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know, and there's a missionary message. You know, God is the judge of all men. God is going to bring you to account, Goliath, for defying not David or Israel, but for defying God, for your willful, stubborn, sinful unbelief. And as a result, God's name will be glorified. For the battle is the Lord's, this final promise of hope, and he will give you into our hands. You know, David proclaims his promise of hope even before the battle. The outcome is certain. The victor is clear. You know, the Lord sends us into the battle, but may we never forget he also secures the victory. You know, in Jackson, Mississippi, if you ever want to go to Jackson, a few good places to eat. You know, we lived in Jackson for 13 years. You can visit the Dizzy Dean Museum. Dizzy Dean pitched for the St. Louis Cardinals when they won the World Series back in 1934. He's actually in the Baseball Hall of Fame. You can visit his burial spot just outside of Wiggins, Mississippi. Dizzy Dean was a country boy who provided the sports press with great quotes. One of his quotes, "The good Lord was good to me. He gave me a strong body, a good right arm, and a weak mind." One year he predicted, and this is the quote, "Me and Paul," that was his brother, fellow pitchers for the St. Louis Cardinals, "me and Paul are going to win 45 games this year." You know, quite a boast. And guess what? They won 45 games. Here, one more humble quote. This is probably most famous of Dizzy Dean. "It ain't bragging if you can do it. It ain't bragging if you can do it." I'm not saying David is saying that here to Goliath, but David is telling this uncircumcised Philistine, "You're coming down. I'm not bragging. The Lord's going to do it, Goliath." You know, what can we learn here is to, you know, as Christians, you know, first the Lord wisely provides us with simple weapons for the battle. And then the Lord promises to defeat his and our foes. Hear this, thinking of God's promise of securing our victory, 1 Corinthians 15:57. 55, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, and so even here in David, you know, even in David's confrontation with Goliath, you know, we begin to see the cross. You know, the Lord secures our victory in Christ. So there are courageous preparations. There is conquering power of the Lord in battle. The rest will, Lord willing, fall into place quickly here. verse 48, there is a providential conquest. This part is familiar to us. You know, David makes the first move towards Goliath. The Philistine then draws near to him. But look at David. David runs towards his enemy. You know, there's a man of faith. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't falter. He says, you know, God, you're with me. You know, let's go get this uncircumcised, this defiant Philistines. And then in a series of smooth and swift motions, you know, almost like, you know, firing a gun, David puts his hand in his pouch, pulls it out one stone, slings it towards the Philistine. When the stone strikes the Philistine square in his forehead, I don't want to diminish David's experience, but that was God's providential plan. One stone, one shot, hit the mark. You know, so don't go bragging on David, the experienced slingshot shooter. You know, the glory goes to God. He falls face down to the ground. You know, in an ironic twist, remember we looked at 1 Samuel 5, the Philistines captured the ark. They put the ark into the temple of Dagon. They go in the morning, and where is Dagon, their god? Flat on his face. So the Philistines think, oh, that must have been an accident, earthquake, someone bumped it. They put Dagon back up, go home for the night, come back the next morning, and where's Dagon? Flat on the ground again. Where's the Philistine? Where are God's enemies? Face down to the ground, defeated by the hand of God. So David, we read verse 50, prevailed. He overcame the Philistine with only a sling and a stone. You know, we tend to focus on the five stones, but I believe that was David's. If David had any lack of faith, there it was. I better put five stones in my pouch in case I need them. I might miss, might drop one. You know, but God said, David, you're only going to need one stone. No sword, no helmet, no coat of mail, no greaves, no spear, no shield bearer. Ralph Davis captures it this way. What matters is not whether you have the best weapons, but whether you have the real God. That's true in David's day. That's true today. You know, don't think, well, if I had this or that weapon or tool, computer program, whatever it might be. You know, do we have the real God with us? Real faith in that real God. So David sprints now towards this fallen Philistine, victoriously stands over him, takes the defeated giant sword from his sheath, makes certain that he's dead. You know, as you look through these verses, it just confirms time and time again that Goliath, the Philistine, is defeated. God is triumphant. He takes the defeated giant sword from his own sheath, separates his head from his body. And what's the response then of the Philistine army? They're the ones on the run. And there is then, in verses 52, a pursuing, a plundering, a prophesying. And then in verse 54, this is the prophesying. You know, picture this in your mind's eye if you want. You know, David took the head of the Philistine. You know, there's David. You know, why do you take the head of your enemy? You know, this is the day before selfies, keep in mind. You know, David, did you really kill Goliath? Did you really kill that Philistine? Yep, see? Here it is. David took the head of the Philistine, brought it to Jerusalem. You know, and here's where it gets interesting. More to come. 1 Samuel, Jerusalem is still a city under the control of the enemy Jebusites. And so it's a prophecy here. The Lord will also use his servant David to conquer the Jebusites, conquer this city for the Lord God, where his temple will be built, his name proclaimed and worshiped. You know, two things to consider here. You know, the scriptural simplicity of the Lord's strategy for victory. You know, it's not complicated here. You know, one faithful servant of God. You know, so often, you know, we're prone to think, well, what can one person do? David was one servant, one soldier, one faithful soldier, one slingshot, one shot, providentially guided. You know, the spiritual certainty, too, of the Lord's victory. You know, and that gives us hope today. You know, I don't know what battles you're facing. Health, finances, family, discouragement, whatever it might be. You know, the Lord secures the victory. You know, that's God's gospel promise here. Not only in 1 Samuel 17, that's a promise of the gospel. That God has conquered sin and death and the grave at the cross. And finally, there at the end, a little bit of confusion, it seems, but there's a clear proclamation by the Lord's victor. You know, verse 55, they seem to be confusing, but hear this explanation from God's word. Saul, King Saul, saw David go out to battle against the Philistine. You know, keep in mind that David had been Saul's musician, you know, but here, for whatever reason, Saul did not recognize David. It said, the Geneva Bible says he had forgotten David, even though he had received so great a benefit by him. And so Saul asked Abner, commander-in-chief, whose son is this? Abner says, well, I don't know. The king says, well, go inquire whose son this boy is. And verse 57, as soon as David returned from the striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him, brought him before Saul. And guess what David still has with him? The head of the Philistine. You think Saul and Abner knew who David was at that point? You know, carrying that trophy. That reminder that God had secured the victory through his servant David. And then David gave the answer, whose son? I'm the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I'm from Bethlehem. We know another victor, a greater victor, a more glorious victor was born in Bethlehem. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, listen to one verse of an old hymn by William Cooper. Came across this, had not read it before. And it asks a question, by whom was David taught? You know, the hymn, William Cooper is asking a question, well, who taught David to aim the deadly blow at Goliath? And then this verse, just one. 'Twas Israel's God and King who sent him to the fight, who gave him strength to fling and skill to aim aright. And then this part. Ye feeble saints, our strength endures because young David's God is yours. You know, hear that again. Ye feeble saints, our strength endures because young David's God is yours. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, be encouraged and strengthened in your battles of faith today. Young David's God is your God, the victorious God, who has secured the victory in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for these gospel promises that we can see even here in the Old Testament, even in this familiar account of David and his triumph over that dread enemy. And Lord God, pray this morning that you might renew us with that gospel hope, even as we're in the midst of battles, big and small. Lord, remind us that you have secured the victory through your Son and our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
This is not the table of Hope Presbyterian Church. It truly is
the Lord's table.